Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today I will summarize and review the book, Undoing Depression, What Therapy Does Not Teach You and Medication Cannot Give You by Richard O'Connor, PhD, is a self-help psychology book for readers trying to understand depression beyond diagnosis and symptom relief. Written by a psychotherapist, it combines clinical perspective with practical guidance for changing the patterns that keep depression active in daily life. The book does not reject therapy or medication, but argues that both can leave important work unfinished if people do not learn new emotional, cognitive, behavioral, and relational skills. Its central purpose is to show how depression becomes reinforced through habits such as avoidance, self-criticism, passivity, emotional suppression, and distorted thinking. O'Connor presents recovery as a process of repeated practice, rather than a single insight or medical correction. The result is a practical guide that sits between conventional clinical explanation and skills-based self-help, aimed at helping readers recognize depressive patterns and deliberately build healthier alternatives. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, depression as a learned pattern rather than only a mood state. A central idea in Undoing Depression is that depression is not only a set of painful feelings, low energy, and negative thoughts. O'Connor emphasizes that people can become practiced at depressive ways of living, often without realizing it. This framing is important because it shifts attention from symptoms alone to the habits that help symptoms return. Avoiding conflict, hiding anger, expecting rejection, withdrawing from others, and interpreting setbacks as personal failure can become automatic responses. These responses may originally develop as attempts to cope with pain, stress, trauma, or disappointment, but over time, they narrow the person's range of choices. The book treats depression as something that can become familiar and self-reinforcing, not because the person wants it, but because repeated patterns become easier to follow than unfamiliar, healthier ones. This approach helps explain why temporary improvement may not last if daily routines, self-talk, emotional responses, and interpersonal habits remain unchanged. Recovery, therefore, requires learning to notice these patterns in action and replacing them through practice. The emphasis on learned patterns gives the book a practical focus. Depression is serious and often requires professional care, but it also involves skills that can be unlearned and rebuilt. Secondly, the role of emotional avoidance and hidden feeling in maintaining depression. O'Connor gives significant attention to the way depressed people may lose contact with their own emotional life. The book argues that depression often involves not only sadness, but also blocked anger, shame, fear, grief, and unmet needs that are difficult to name directly. Many people learn to hide distress, minimize their reactions, or present themselves as functional while internally feeling numb or defeated. This matters because emotions provide information about boundaries, losses, desires, and relationships. When emotions are suppressed or disguised, the person may not act on problems that need attention, and the unresolved pressure can intensify depressive symptoms. The book encourages greater awareness of mood shifts and emotional triggers, including the use of tools such as mood tracking or reflective journaling. These practices are not presented as quick cures. Their value is in making automatic reactions visible. Once a person can see patterns such as feeling worse after certain interactions, avoiding specific decisions, or turning anger inward, recovery becomes more concrete. This focus distinguishes the book from approaches that treat depression only as a thinking error. O'Connor recognizes cognition, but he also stresses that emotions must be experienced, understood, and expressed in healthier ways. Thirdly, why medication and therapy may reduce symptoms without teaching durable skills. The subtitle of the book points to one of its main arguments: conventional treatment can be valuable, yet incomplete. Medication may reduce symptoms enough for a person to function, sleep, concentrate, or participate in life again. But medication alone does not teach how to handle conflict, challenge self-criticism, tolerate difficult emotion, or rebuild relationships. Therapy can provide insight and support, but insight does not automatically translate into new habits unless it is practiced repeatedly outside the session. O'Connor is careful not to dismiss professional treatment. Instead, he positions skill building as the missing bridge between treatment and long-term recovery. The reasoning is practical. Depression often returns in familiar situations: rejection, overwork, isolation, disappointment, or internal criticism. If a person has no new response to those situations, symptom relief may fade when stress rises. The book therefore emphasizes active participation in recovery. Readers are encouraged to observe their patterns, practice new behaviors, and take responsibility for daily choices without interpreting depression as moral weakness. This balance is one of the book's strongest features. It respects the medical seriousness of depression while insisting that durable change depends on skills, repetition, and self-awareness. Fourthly, changing depressive thinking through practice instead of argument alone. The book draws on cognitive behavioral principles by encouraging readers to recognize the thought patterns that accompany depression, such as overgeneralizing failure, discounting positive experiences, assuming hopeless outcomes, or treating feelings as proof of reality. However, O'Connor does not present thinking change as a simple matter of positive thinking. Depressive thoughts often feel convincing because they are tied to memory, emotion, and repeated experience. For that reason, the book emphasizes practice noticing thoughts, questioning their accuracy, testing assumptions through action, and gradually developing more balanced interpretations. This is concrete because the goal is not to deny pain, but to reduce the automatic authority of depressive interpretations. For example, a setback can be examined as a specific event rather than accepted as evidence of personal worthlessness. A social silence can be treated as uncertain rather than proof of rejection. The book also links thought change to behavior change. More balanced thinking becomes easier when the person takes small actions that produce new evidence, such as completing tasks, reaching out, exercising, or facing avoided responsibilities. In this way, cognitive change is treated as an embodied habit. Readers learn that healthier thinking is built through repeated correction, not through a single realization. Lastly, recovery is a lifestyle of relapse prevention and repeated self-correction. Undoing depression presents recovery as an ongoing practice rather than a final state in which depression simply disappears. This is especially relevant because depression often has recurrent patterns. O'Connor encourages readers to build routines and supports that reduce vulnerability to regular activity. Attention to sleep and physical health, connection with others, meaningful work, emotional honesty, and awareness of early warning signs. The practical implication is that people should not wait until symptoms become severe before responding. Small shifts in withdrawal, irritability, hopeless thinking, fatigue, or avoidance can be treated as signals to return to recovery skills. The book also challenges perfectionism in recovery. A depressive episode or relapse does not mean failure. It may show where a pattern remains strong or where support is needed. This approach is realistic because depression rarely changes in a straight line. The emphasis on repeated self-correction helps readers develop a more durable relationship with their own mental health. Rather than depending entirely on external intervention, they learn to monitor stress, adjust behavior, and seek help earlier. This makes the book useful not only for immediate symptom management, but also for long-term maintenance and prevention. In conclusion, Undoing Depression is best suited for readers who want a practical explanation of why depression can persist even after therapy, medication, or periods of improvement. It may be especially useful for people who recognize recurring patterns of withdrawal, self-criticism, emotional numbness, avoidance, or relapse, and want to understand what can be practiced differently. It can also benefit family members or caregivers who want a more nuanced view of depression as both an illness and a pattern of learned coping. The practical benefit lies in its focus on skills, mood awareness, emotional honesty, cognitive correction, behavioral change, and relapse prevention. The intellectual benefit is its integrated view of depression, combining psychological insight with daily habits rather than reducing depression to chemistry, willpower, or isolated thoughts. Compared with many self-help books on depression, it stands out because it does not offer a single technique as the answer. It accepts the value of treatment while arguing that recovery requires learning how not to live depressively. That positioning makes the book a useful complement to professional care, particularly for readers willing to observe themselves closely and practice change over time. It is not a substitute for urgent clinical help, but it is a thoughtful guide to the work that often happens between and after formal treatment. If you would like to support Richard O'Neill 39 Connor PhD, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.